The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
I am your host. I am here. I'm excited. The rains have ended. The sun is shining. And you're listening to Waking Up in America on an absolutely sparkling day here from Topanga. We create dynamic radio dialogues on issues that matter, and it's actually our 23rd year now, so I'm delighted. Want to ask a question while we're on the air? Send me an email at val@wakingupinamerica.com. That's val@wakingupinamerica.com. To get things started off, let's remember what our forefathers gave us. And what they gave us was a pledge to the Republic of the United States of America. Now, that's really very important because we're not a republic right now. We're basically a bunch of well-trained ants working for the king and queen bees. It says, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I'm so glad that I grew up with that conversation because I think it really gives me the right priorities in life. You can translate it however you are, wherever you are. You can translate it into spirit. You can translate it into God. You can call it higher self, that part of you that reaches for the stars. That's the possibility here. Now, I'm very excited that we have Jean Houston today. She's actually going to be showing up at the Los Angeles Conscious Expo, which is the 8th annual Conscious Life Expo, an illuminating, they say, 3-day event featuring transformational films, eclectic music, and lectures featuring Ram Dass, Greg Braden, and boy, Braden, I should go over there and listen to that man. Debbie and Ariel Ford, Jean Houston, there she is, Don Miguel Ruiz, who we thought we had for a moment, and so on. The list is just fabulous. The admissions are reasonable. And it's Friday the 12th from 2 to 10 p.m., Saturday, February 13th from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m., Sunday, February 11th Sunday, February 14th, Valentine's Day. That's a great Valentine's to give yourself, from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. at the LAX Hilton, okay? So you can call 1-800-367-5777 for more info on this, and just really check this out, or you can go to www.consciouslifeexpo.com. A lot of really exciting things are happening today. Gail here is going to be taking off for the Olympics, I guess, tomorrow, right, Gail?
Right.
Yeah, she'll be taking off for the Olympics in Vancouver tomorrow. Jean Houston is coming down here for the weekend, and she's going to be doing the Conscious Life Expo with just one of the greatest group of people I've ever laid ears on. And Jean, are you down for the whole 3 days?
No, I'm in very early Sunday morning and out late Sunday evening.
And I'm
globe hopping right now. So.
She's globe hopping, and we've got Tim Turner showing up on the half hour. He so apologizes for not being here last week because he normally does the first Thursday. Or the first Tuesday. Oh, get there, finally. First Wednesday of the month. I don't even know myself what I'm doing. I'm so excited. So it's important, and he'll be talking to you. We've got a lot of listeners that know what the new republic is. We've got a lot of listeners that know that the government hasn't been treating us as well as we think sovereigns should be treated. And we've got Jean here today. We've got Debbie in the background making all kinds of things happen and work. She'll have some good conversations with Jean. So I'm delighted to be here with a radio team. So call your friends, invite them to listen. Jean Houston and Tim Turner join a wonderful list of people that have been on our show for the last 23 years, and we're just delighted to be here. We want to thank Stardoves and Roberto's Bungalows and Steve and Diana down there for what we're doing here, and we'll give you their names and numbers later on in the show because I just want to get this thing hopping here. So, Jean, you've been known for, in New York, you're going to be talking about fractal time, and here you're talking about people reaching their greatest evolution, right?
Well, the potential that resides within each one of us, that we can no longer, in this incredibly challenging time, Val, live as half-light versions of who and what we are.
And, you know, I spent
a lifetime studying the nature of the human capacity, and also, three-quarters of a lifetime working in over 100 countries for the UN and other, you know, international agencies, trying to help cultures, you know, recover their original genius, as well as helping people fulfill the Millennium Development Goals. So what I do is essentially human development in the light of social change.
Now, you've got how many books now?
I've got about 26 now, but about the last four or five essentially are manuals, UN-type manuals, and for working in different areas.
Now, Gail, if you'll just tell people a little bit about Beauty in the Arts and what you stand for.
Well, absolutely. First of all, very specifically, beauty and the arts, in the way of the arts. And beauty surrounds us everywhere, in nature, in music, in the highest dimension of everything. And the arts, I mean, it's the art of living. It's the art of playing the piano. It's the art of speaking properly. It's the art of really being the highest quality of human being that you can be. And one of the things I wanted to ask Jean is, I know that...
Before you ask Jean,
let me just
bring Debbie in, okay?
Oh, yes.
And then please go for Jean. Debbie, Dr. Furmoney, what are you doing here today? What intrigues you about this dialogue?
Well, this whole world is so much just potential, and we are out here... I mean, everybody's driving for money. They think that that's what they need in order to survive and all that type of thing. But we have to all learn how to get to a higher level of consciousness so that we can be who we are. And I'm just looking so forward to hearing more of what Jean has to say, because every day I want to learn more and become more of who I am. And this whole topic is going to be just fascinating. So I'm looking so forward to that. And it's just learning how to live in the world in a much better way so that we all benefit instead of some of the suffering that does go on out there.
You said, Jean, something about returning countries to their genius. I love that. I absolutely love that conversation. And based with that, Gail, go for it.
Right. I know Jean's work and in the exploration of creativity, science, magic and joy, and she says that one of the most poignant human hungers is the need for ceremony and ritual, and in that element form, it's actually one of the oldest part of our brains, but that brings meaning, depth, and beauty, which are needed now individually.
More than ever.
Yeah, and I wanted Jean to comment on that for us, because I love ritual, and I love ceremony, and I love the things it brings.
Well, firstly, the aspect of beauty, as you were speaking, Gail, your luminous words, I was thinking of the lines of Emily Dickinson, where she says, "Beauty crowds me till I die. Beauty, mercy hath on me. But if I expire today, let it be in sight of thee." I mean, some of the most overwhelming, pungent, potent lines about the nature of beauty that I have ever read. And I think the whole issue of ritual, you know, ritual, the word itself comes from the Sanskrit rita, which means art, discipline, that which illumines our transitions and ultimately the dance of life. And the very fact that ritual, when done with consciousness and conscientiousness, not same old, often gives us the keys, the movement, the illumination of the transition that carries us to the next stage, because we realize that we are not encapsulated bags of skin dragging around a dreary little ego. We are organism, environment, symbiotic with the world, with the field, with the time, with all of the different frequencies that are surrounding us, in which we are imbibing the ebullience of life force itself. And ritual, when done beautifully, carries us into this larger reality of which we are a part.
I love to hear you talk. It really gets me going. I love your use of language. I love the fact that you plant things in my mind that my mind hadn't gone to before. And you do it through just exquisite language. I want to thank you. Both Gail and I actually attended your mystery school in 2005 in Palm Springs.
Yes.
And one of the things that stood out for me, there were a lot of wonderful things that happened, but one that really made a difference was when you had us moving past each other in the room, singing our own songs, and not changing when we met other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you taught us how to hold our own sound, our own language, how to express ourselves without being driven off course by some other conversation.
I find that almost everybody, first of all, you know, there's no such thing as a normal person. A normal person is someone you don't know very well.
Well said.
And the fact that beneath the surface crust of consciousness of almost everybody, there is a great original. And part of my job in life is to help to evoke people's radical originality so that they stop boring God, I mean, for one thing.
You love that, Gail? I heard that so laugh.
That particular exercise was probably along the lines of the non-boring of God. But I think that, you know, the very fact is that beneath the surface crust of consciousness, again, most people, given training, given inspiration, given quickening charge, can learn to think, to be, to operate on so many, many other levels, you know, to think in images as well as in words, to think with the whole body, to use time in such a way that you can experience an enormous amount of time in a short period of clock time, and thus not only practice things that you need to practice, but also create things. You know, we have a ongoing creativity in the depths of our mind. And when I've studied, as I've been very fortunate to do, to study some of the great geniuses of our time, many of them were, at least 50, 60, 70 of them were close friends of mine, people like Margaret Mead, Joseph Campbell, Linus Pauling, Jonas Salk, I mean, Buckminster Fuller. And I knew these people very well. Maybe not.
And you met Albert Einstein, which in my book just put you at the top anyway.
Yes, he was very vague. But what I find is that it's not that they are so brilliant. It's just simply that they use more of themselves so that they are thinking along the whole spectrum of different ways of tapping into the, what should I say, they become archaeologists of their own minds, spelunkers in the caves of their own creativity. And so it's very easy to teach people to do that. In fact, this year's Mystery School, which starts in New York next week and then at the end of February in California.
What is that, 2 or 3 days?
It's Friday through Sunday, yeah. And
Friday through Sunday.
And this year, for the first time, we're going to allow people to take individual sessions instead of these 5 sessions or three sessions. So if people are interested, they go to mysteryschool.info, mysteryschool.info, and they'll find out about that. But this will be the 27th year. Now, what
oh my God.
We are... Yep,
20,
I hang in there.
27
I'm married to my dear husband for 43 years. He died, you know, a year and a half ago.
I heard that.
Yeah, and by the way, now give some advice to people. I was full-time caregiver along with my wonderful housekeeper. And what I did the last months of his life, and just sat on the bed, and I interviewed him about his life, just like Simone de Beauvoir had done with Jean-Paul Sartre. And it was so interesting. I mean, his voice was very faint, so I couldn't get it on the tape recorder. But he was just filled with a kind of huge delight of soul. He said, "Ah, that's what that means." So it's one of the best ways, you know, when people are still very clear in their minds, as he was, to interview them on as they begin to review the life pen as they are in passage to the next place.
Well, it's interesting. Were you with him when he died?
I missed it by an hour.
So you didn't feel the transfer? Did you feel that energy when he died? Did you know something had happened?
I suddenly became very ill.
Yeah.
And
I got it.
That's what happened, and I had no reason to be ill. So
right.
I felt something. But luckily, my wonderful housekeeper was there, and before he died, he opened his eyes with great ecstasy, and I like to think he saw some of his most beloved dogs who came to carry him
off. No, I actually have a good story I'll tell you later about my dog dying in the last month, and it was, I was actually there, you know, I actually signed the papers to have it happen, which was a really devastating thing to have to do.
Yes.
And I was just taken with the transfer of energy. I'd never been at the moment of death before. And it was just such a powerful gift to receive from this dog that I adored.
Yes.
And I'm actually talking to you.
How old was the dog?
12 and a half.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
That's about as long as they do last.
Yeah.
I did have a dog who lived to be 21 once.
I met a chihuahua that was 25, and it was pretty rickety, but it was really cute.
the little dogs are the mixed dogs. I have a golden doodle now.
A golden doodle?
Well, you know, they're half golden retrievers and half white poodles.
Gail, we need to get one.
Looking dogs. You know, I look at her and I say, I bought a doodle and I got a poodle. It's like a big poodle. I have a Shiloh Shepherd, which is 4 months old, and he's 63 pounds already.
So as you've been listening, I want to make sure that other people get to join in this conversation, too.
Yeah.
So Gail or Deb, is there anything you'd like to throw in at this point? This is just too good.
I sure love that dog. I think it is so interesting how connected we are to our pets and our animals.
Yes,
and it's so sad that some people just don't see that. I mean,
and they get to enjoy it, you know?
Well, we err greatly when we think of them as lesser than ourselves. They are other tribes, other nations. They have a whole different modalities of knowing and being and consciousness.
Well, my dog got a royal exit, Jean.
Mm-hmm.
I even discovered that there was a doggy pet cemetery where I had her cremated.
Yes, yes.
It's the cutest thing I ever saw in my life. There's these little kitties and rabbits and stuff, mm-hmm. and they have a little mausoleum for them. I had never come across
That's
all
right.
of that.
Yes, I've seen that.
I anointed her paws with mm-hmm. essential oils.
Mm-hmm.
I laid her in state so that the animals at the house could enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean enjoy it like happy enjoy it, but enjoy the process
mm-hmm.
of what That's it was wonderful. Like to lose Raven. Raven was a real instrumental part of our household. I mean,
Absolutely.
She made sure that
I don't know if you know a book I wrote about this called Mystical Dogs.
I didn't.
Yes, it's probably my best book, and I
really?
Track the mystical experience with its
well,
great
stages. Well, why don't we do a mystical
dog in terms of the dogs, the great dogs that I've known and had they were with me, who taught me the great creative and mystical lessons of my life.
Let's do a dog show, okay?
All right, I love doing dog
because
shows.
Because I really want
the book again.
This is turning into a dog show right now.
Well, I don't want it to. That's why I'm stopping it right now and saying, let's do a dog show.
Moving right along.
Because I'd like to actually create the possibility of people, and I think you made an allusion to fractal time that we didn't follow up on, and I just wanted
fractals,
to.
Well, fractals, you know, we know what fractals are. The patterns of repetition that you find from lower to higher forms, so that, for example, you look at a cauliflower, and you looked at a little floret in the cauliflower, which looks like the whole cauliflower with variations. That's a fractal. You look at the great patterns of a seashore, and then you look at the little tiny wave eddies on the sand, and one is a fractal, a pattern repetition of the other. So fractals are there throughout nature, but one thing that I have found that they are also in time, that we have various patterns of repetition, and I'm not talking just about the seasons. I'll give you an example from my own life, because what I'm going to ask the audience, listening audience, to do is to consider the fractals of time in their life, patterns of repetition. That, and I'm going to look just at the positive ones. Now, my earliest fractal is what I would call hybrid vigor or an internationalism that has followed me all my life. My mother is a Sicilian woman. Her name is Maria Nunziata Serafina Graziella Fiorino Papaccio Todaro, born in Syracuse, Sicily, and she comes to the States and marries Jack Houston of Texas. Old. You know, Sam Houston was my great-great-great-grandfather. Robert Lee was my great-great-grandfather. So old American family. And then my father's in show business. He's the guy, by the way, who wrote the joke, Who's On First? So
oh,
I think
really?
Two Jewish guys when you look at the nature of the joke. Anyway, so we travel all over. I go to 20 schools before I'm 12 because Dad's writing the Bob Hope Show, among other shows. And then when we finally settled down, I go to a school of 5,000 girls in New York where every possible ethnicity is there. And then Barnard College, the same. And then I'm with the United Nations. So the fractal of my life is entirely having to do with many cultures being brought together, you know, an international thing.
Like you
and
couldn't escape it, actually.
Current from the time I'm a baby, you see.
Yeah, you can't escape it. It's there at every corner.
You cannot
corner.
Escape it. So if people would look at what are some of the, for some people it takes work, you can actually draw it and see the fractal of time, which is almost the high signature of your life, the great gifting. And often when you look at the high, positive, creative fractal, you begin to see the different frequencies of becoming that are there, that are endemic to your life and your situation. Now, there are negative fractals as well, but we're not going to go there right now.
No, we don't have time, nor the desire, really, to tell you the truth. So this is terrific, Jean. It's absolutely terrific.
I mean, if I were to ask you, Val, what are the recurrent fractals in your life?
Well, I would have to say the need, actually, for dialogues just like this.
Yes.
They show up. They showed up ever since I was a little girl. Mm-hmm. I was always interviewing people that I thought had a view of life that I hadn't learned all I wanted to learn about it yet or something of that nature. So I started interviewing when I was in junior high school and creating dialogues. And I invited all of my teachers mm-hmm. to go out and have Cokes with mm-hmm. me, and I bought them Cokes. And talk to them. It was a good collection of Cokes, too, straight from the soda fountain, all the way from cherry to, you know,
yes,
suicide Cokes. Yeah. And not one of them turned me down. Yeah. Not one person. I invited an algebra professor. Every one of them showed up. I hit every field that was available to me in that school. And I interviewed them, and I was so turned on by the fact that by talking to other people that my own consciousness could grow in leaps and bounds. And you do it for me every time. Gail, when you listen to Jean Houston talk and the language that she uses, what happens inside of you?
Well, I get absolutely enchanted and absolutely inspired.
Yeah. Debbie, I don't know. Would you say the same or would you say something different?
Well, I'm thinking even in terms of what has my past, What my past is going to turn in my future. I just see so many things repeating patterns of loving nature and animals and wildlife, and yet a whole international theme that keeps going on of growing bigger and bigger in contexts all over the world. I just see a lot of new things that I hadn't really thought of before, wondering where things are going to go in the next few years. It should be quite an interesting move.
Well, you know, Jean, I've done over 1,000 radio shows.
Oh my!
In the 23 years,
mm-hmm.
and I've gotten a chance to talk to you a number of times, which it totally gets me. I get excited when I realize that I get to talk to you again, and then I also believe it's karmic. Okay, so I go. Something changes inside of me. I mean, you're one of the reasons that I ended up in Washington, D.C., sitting next to Barack last year as you were cruising down the coast
mm-hmm.
in your convertible, and we were talking. And
I remember that, yes.
And it was like I had 4 days to get to Washington, D.C., okay?
Mm-hmm.
And after talking to you, I ended up, and by the way, I had $6.39 in my checking account when we talked. Mm-hmm. I ended up in Washington, D.C. at the Hyatt Hotel, which is right there on Capitol Hill. Which is the hub of everything that goes on yes. in Washington, D.C. I ended up flying fabulous class with Virgin Airlines. I ended up being wined and dined. I had no reservations for anything when I took off. I was like making it up as I went along. And I kept thinking about how I was going to sit with Barack, which is what you had said. Mm-hmm. You said, what would be your highest goal? And you go, I know what your highest goal would be. It would be sitting with Barack, wouldn't it? And I went, oh, my God, yeah. So we can do that for each other. I mean, I don't know that I would have ended up in Washington, D.C. if you and I hadn't talked.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember the conversation well, and I had such a strong image because, you know, I know what you look like, and I had such a strong image of you sitting there with him, and that happened, didn't it?
Yes, you know what? Not only, first of all, I bought my ticket. I will call it a bootleg ticket. At like 10 o'clock at night, the day before I was leaving, from a guy on a street mm-hmm. corner in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a $300 ticket, and that ticket actually put me behind a bush, okay? So I couldn't even see anything that was going on, but I had a friend that I'd made in the crowd, and we started for the front. And we were climbing over things and asking people to help us and being totally cooperative but adorable but yet insistent. We ended up in the $8,500 seats.
Mm-hmm.
We were sitting with Barack. And that's how it works, folks. You have people like Gail Allen or Debbie or Jean Houston around you, and they start talking to you and say, well, why not? right?
Well, we have a different reality base, you know. And I think that's very important. My reality base is I not only inhabit the universe inhabits me.
So, I think that's really incredibly important.
And so we have access. We have access all the time. And the problem, of course, is to release all the old conditionings and patterns and shoulds and woulds and coulds so that you do have a much freer access, because we are not just citizens in a universe larger than our expectation, more complex than all our dreams, but we are expected in this new cycle of our lives to participate in a whole new way. I mean, in the past, we explored the continents of the world, and now that's long since done. And now it is the continents of mind and of spirit. You know, the very fact, I was just thinking about Galileo today, and how with his seeing through the telescopes, the early telescopes, he would see the fact that, in point of fact, you know, the sun does not revolve around us. And, you know, that we are...
A rude awakening for many.
A rude awakening, yes, got him in lots of trouble. And
well, we
now,
got 8 seconds
I was
here.
Working some months ago with NASA at the Space Center down there. I was giving lectures to their scientists, and so they gave me the VIP tour, and when you go there, you are surrounded by these huge, huge, huge photographs of the cosmos, and you realize that you are part of this. There was an extraordinary photograph. It was about 10, 15 feet long. I mean, it was longer than that, actually. And it was of a nebulae, and the stars were birthing down the birth canal, down the grand, long, long, long lineaments that were protruded from the center of this nebulae. And then I was thinking of the birth canal and the very fact that everything is fractaled and that we are citizens in this reality. Now, recent stuff, we may be living in a cosmic hologram where everything is dynamically related to everything else. We are ubiquitous through the stars and planets, and they are in us. And perhaps our mitochondria sing songs to the stars, as my great friend who wrote the...
Actually going to stop you with your great friend right here, because
okay.
We actually do need to go to break.
Okay.
We're on the air with Jean Houston, who's going to be at the 8th Annual Conscious Life Expo this weekend in Los Angeles. I invite you to come and see her. This is a big deal. As you can hear already, this woman has a use of language that is astounding. With that, I'd like to also mention that Gail Ellen, our beauty and arts editor, and Debbie Ringchop, one of our doctors for money, is here, and we're going to take a break with Diamond Alignment right now and say thank you to the people that are helping us be on the air.
We live in a world that is more alive with possibility than ever before in history. Yet it is easy to get lost in the confusion and chaos of such an accelerated world. How do we stay connected and aligned with the unlimited potential that lies within us and soar in these exciting yet challenging times? Diamond Alignment, a sacred technology for the 21st century, offers high-speed connection and alignment with this divine power within, both convenient and profound. The 6-minute multi-sensory diamond experience delivered via the internet clears your mind, relaxes your body, and creates inner peace no matter what is going on around you. The Diamond Alignment experience effortlessly keeps you charged with joy and equanimity and greater focus and clarity throughout your day. Experience the expansive energy of Diamond Alignment. You activate the unlimited wealth and potential within you.
We're alive. We're here. We're on Waking Up in America. We're looking for Mr. Turner, we're trying to catch him in between meetings, and we hope to be lucky with that. And we're totally here with Jean Houston, who is mesmerizing, informative. I get so inspired when I'm around you. I'm actually considering moving to Ashland, Oregon, so I can see you more often.
Well, it's the great town, you know. It's always chosen as number one or two is the best place to live in America.
Yeah, you said to me one time when we were talking, you said, "Wow, you really should check it out. God lives down the street." And you were talking about Neil Donald Walsh.
Neil Walsh lives down the street. And over to my right lives Gary Zukav. And so it goes.
Well, Neil Donald Walsh, I get his little mailing, and I recommend it to people. He said, the election, today's thing, is the election is over and you win.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all talking about winning, and winning actually is the sound that an arrow makes when it meets the mark. It isn't about beating somebody else. So in this, we're here to create the sound of winning. So you want to win a little more? I'll tell you, you can win a little bit more after I mention that Stardoves in Florida actually does the mailing list for Waking Up in America, and they also send out memos to people letting them know what's going on. They produce advertising for 100,000 really top-notch people, and if you're not using them, Gene, they're very reasonable and they're very effective. Stardoves is raw, and if you say that you heard about him here on Waking Up in America, he'll actually arrange a discount for you. His telephone number is 828-665-0411. That's 828-665-0411. And that's for 100,000 very conscious and wonderful people. I've been delighted with everybody I've met. If you need a vacation and you want to run away, Mexico is terrific, okay? San Pancho is 45 minutes north of Puerto Vallarta if you put your foot on the pedal just like I do. And Roberta's bungalows are a charming, delightful place to stay within very short walking distance of the beach. Their telephone number is 971-239-4120. That's 971-239-4120. Do we have Tim yet, Deb?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Fabulous. So, Gene Houston?
I'm right here.
I want you to meet Tim Turner. And I want you to mark this date on your calendar because this is one of my other favorite human beings on the planet.
Hello, Gene.
Hello there. I'm reading all about you on the Internet.
Oh, my goodness. Well, don't believe all of it.
And your magnificent seminars that you offer. Yes.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
So we want to know, you know, we called him up and he said, I'm really busy today. And I said, we know, but we still want you anyway for breaking news on what's happening with the New Republic. So I promised to get him off the air in 7 minutes, okay? So tell us everything you can possibly tell us about what's happening and what the possibility is for Americans once the New Republic is established.
It's absolutely fabulous what's going on in America right now. We are absolutely resurrecting the original republic government as we speak. And this thing is moving forward at lightning speed. And the support has been so overwhelming across America, it has just humbled our efforts. I mean, we just absolutely have just sat back with in awe of the support of the American people. Tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands by now, are coming on board and wanting to sign the declaration that we're putting forth. It's actually going out to all the state coordinators today.
All right.
I'm thankful to say that Alabama was the first. We're always in the forefront, you know, even in football.
It but helps to only, be
not
the leader
only
of
football,
your state.
But we are in the forefront. We were the first to come forth and sign the declaration of all the 50 states. And we did that last night, and when we read the declaration, and it is quite lengthy, it's 30 pages, and when we finished reading it to the group, they gave it a standing ovation. I mean, it was just absolutely wonderful.
How do we see this declaration?
The declaration is given to the state coordinators today, and it won't be for public viewing until you go to sign the declaration. Then you'll be given the full declaration, 30 pages to read, and decide whether you would like to sign it or not. No copies will be given except to the state coordinators for a couple of weeks because we have some problems with there are other people out there that are trying to bother with our process here. Yesterday I put out a call number, and we spent hours contacting all of our people and with a call call tonight, and somebody and told everybody, please don't share this with anyone because we got about 60 people that we're calling estate coordinators, and we don't have but just a few more spots than that on the call. Somebody blasted it all over the country.
So what are you going to do? You're going
to
change?
Well,
that's what
we're doing now. We're contacting everybody and letting them know it's been changed, and please don't share it. But somebody got a hold of it that shouldn't have and just blasted it everywhere. So, efforts like that are it takes a lot of our time that we don't really have, and it has caused me a loss of sleep in the last few weeks doing things.
So Tim,
like
we've
this.
Only got a minute or so more with you. Let people know what the difference is for you know what's going to happen. For instance, is it okay to talk about mortgages?
Yes, absolutely. Once the republic is restored, all mortgages and foreclosures will cease. They'll be over. Debts will be eliminated. And people will, we believe at this point, we don't have a full confirmation on it yet, but we don't see any problem with this. We believe that the American people will actually be allowed to access their accounts that we've talked about many times.
So tell them, well, everybody listens to different shows, and Gene hasn't heard it before. So talk as quickly as you can, or whatever your time allows, so that Gene and others on the show know what actually is possible for them as far as accounts.
Oh,
we're talking
goodness.
Over $300 million, right?
Yes. We believe that. There are trillions of dollars in credits for the American people that have been kept from them all of their lives, and these credits are in the Department of Treasury and as well as other places, the Depository Trust Company and other places, and they are being held for the American people. Well, the American people weren't told about these credits, and we discovered, as you know, and through some very high-ranking bankers that shared with us and other people what was going on, and we've exposed that, and it's actually pretty well known across the country now about this process. People don't quite understand it, but the bottom line is there are trillions of dollars in credit for the American people being held in like an escrow for them, and they have to learn how to access it.
You know, well, I just want to ask a quick question with you here, Gene. Wasn't there a time in history, and maybe this is part of it, Tim, in which every 7 years or something that people were forgiven their debts?
Well, that's an ancient Hebraic form, yes.
So this would be perfect,
the sabbatical.
it was every 50 years, if I remember.
Every 50 years, but there was also, but that's a big one, but there was also a seven-year one.
I think the 50 one included the countries, if I remember correctly.
That's correct.
What were you saying? I couldn't hear you.
I said I believe the 50-year one even included the countries that were in debt, if I understand it properly.
Mm-hmm. So we're definitely due this.
Yes. Oh, yes. It's time for Jubilee in America. We are going forward, and the declaration, we estimate that we'll have this done before the 1st of March.
All right.
And we do have the support of the military as well as the Supreme Court on this. And
Which is astounding in it.
Oh, absolutely.
Astounding is a thought that we have the Supreme Court.
Yes. Well, the Supreme Court understands the spot that we're in. In April of this year, there's a plan to sign into law international laws that will do away forever with the Constitution for the United States of America and put us under international law. And the military doesn't want that, neither does the Supreme Court, neither do the people. So then we have to stand up and do something about it. So the people that I'm working with were approached by the military and told that, well, we need to move forward on this, and told us how that they could recognize us as a civil authority, and that's where we're at. We've done that, and that's what this declaration is about. We're forming the grand juries across all the 50 states now, and they are the civil authority in America.
Do we have time for people to ask you a single question, the people that are on the show?
Oh, sure.
Because I promised you a certain amount of time. So, Gene, do you have a question that you want to ask Tim about what you've heard?
Hold on just one second.
You know, I think it'd be better if you have somebody...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
To call in for this.
A pardon?
Oh. To get a call in so that your audience is involved in this.
Well, we don't have a way
well,
to...
Well, I'll take a few minutes if you need to.
I want you to be able to ask questions if you have them, or Gail or Debbie, and one question each. And then I want to finish off with Gene.
I don't have a question, Val.
Do you have a question, Deb?
Not so much a question as to
I just know that there's so many good things that he's getting ready to do, so we're just looking forward to having a chance to sign and see what the declarations have.
You will absolutely, if you're an American and you believe in freedom, you will absolutely love this declaration.
I can't wait to see it, Tim, and I know how busy you are today. So I want to really thank you for being here on Waking Up in America. And we're there. I want to go with you the whole route.
Absolutely. We're in it for the long haul there.
If you'd been sitting here in California, Debbie and I would have signed last night.
Okay, I understand. And CW will have it today.
Fabulous.
And he can't distribute it by email, but you can go look at it.
Okay, we'll do that.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Okay, and you take care. And Gene, it was nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you, sir.
And look forward to seeing you sometime, maybe. And we can sit down and visit. Have a cup of tea.
There you go. Take care,
Tim. All right. Thank you.
See you, Tim.
So here's the guy being the most he can be, Gene.
Oh, I think there's no question of that. Yeah. And to... you know, to take up his courage and to take on essentially the whole United States government as it is now. You know, I was thinking of Margaret Mead, who said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has." And clearly he has created that. You know, he can have only admiration, and clearly he is a man, a kind of hero of a new order of story.
Absolutely, totally. And that quote that you just add? That was in my therapy office for like 20 years.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
I love that quote.
But, you know, we're in the time of radical breakdown, radical deconstruction of all the old ways of doing, being, having, knowing, even loving. And a man like Tim Turner is clearly one of those who is an evocateur of the new narrative, of the new story, and putting hands and feet and eyes and viscera and heart into profoundly making a difference and doing it, you know, in all the meetings, all the people that he encounters. I wish him the very best. I mean, he's a David facing a phenomenal Goliath.
Let me tell you a little bit difference between him and David. David didn't have 30 million people.
Well, if you have 30 million people, he's got 30 million rocks, yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's not. I love the analogy because I look
at
him the same way.
It's a major slingshot.
Well, I first heard
But also the fact is that as far as we know, David did not have any large agenda, you know, when he was
it's
a young
true.
Man.
Well, he did have a large agenda, actually.
This
he
man
wanted
has
to take
a very
down
large
a giant.
Agenda.
He wanted to take down a giant. I'd call that a large agenda.
Yes, indeed.
You know, nobody could beat that. But here's what's happening. Tim Turner is living his life.
Mm-hmm.
He's inspired me. I'm inspired by what he's doing because everything seems so wrong about what I was going through. I don't know how many people know this, but I lost two homes in foreclosure.
Oh, my.
And they were trying to take my third one away from me, and I wasn't making enough money to pay the electric bill on time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because the economy was being manipulated. And if you guys want to check out the Rothschilds or how all that works, just go check. It's all there. It's all on the Internet. I don't know how old you are at this time, Gene. I think you got to be as old as me, and I'm going to be 70 this year, right? Are you as old as me?
I'm in that vicinity. I'm in that
okay,
vicinity.
Fine. So when we talk, even though we sound cute and adorable, we've been looking for a long period of time, and for over 20 years, I was paying attention to this conversation that he has, but I never could see the tools to make it happen.
Yes.
You know, there's just always conversations where you get stirred up and frustrated and threatened, as, you know, Debbie's and my friend Janet was called up before the grand jury for helping people, and she beat it, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So the times are changing, and the people are ready, and when I talked to Tim, last year it was 25 million people, and now he thinks between 30 and 40 million people are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a conversation certainly that a lot of people are confused about, but more and more people are hearing about it all the time. So what happens when you take the burden off people, you know?
Well, you know, as he was talking, I was thinking about the fact that America was founded not by just a few hundred years of eccentric Europeans. With interesting religious beliefs that got them thrown out of their countries, but literally by the yearnings and hopes of millions of people over thousands of years but the mythic yearning for the land beyond the western waters, where they would find a opportunity and potential that they would not have found elsewhere. And that is an enormously heavy fact of the American existence. It's like a multi-layered stew of so many people's hopes, dreams, cultures, and I think this is one of the reasons why we have been relatively blessed in the canon of nations until perhaps recently. Our only major other big internal tragedy, of course, was the Civil War. But I think due to the fact that we came along the same time of the beginnings of the Industrial Revolution, we objectified all this potential, all this great mythic and spiritual strength too quickly. And so it became forms of materialism. It became forms of widgets and you know, labor-saving devices. And now I think the crisis is so huge worldwide that we have to tap into the deeper layers of our collective American psyche, our collective soul, and not just us, other countries as well, but particularly America, to find the new narrative. I mean, you know, we are a very old people in terms of modern societies. We're the first to really have gone through the whole form of the Industrial Revolution, the racial revolutions, the industrial revolutions, the agricultural revolutions, the ecological revolutions, and now, of course, this whole revolution in what it truly means to be a human steward of this earth in this most critical time. So I think that it's not that America's in a denouement. We may be in terms of our material things, but not in terms of the spiritual and the deep psychological and the creative, inventive soul of what is possible as we emerge into the new story, because out of emergency comes the emergence.
Well,
I'm always so moved when you speak. We've got Jean for about 2.5 minutes more, ladies. Gail, do you have a last question you'd like
to
answer?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask that, Jean, I know in your vision of the possible achievement of individual potential, you assisted Hillary Clinton mm-hmm. with writing her book, It Takes a Village to Raise a Child.
Yes, I did.
and in that, certainly, took other leadership positions with other countries and other cultures too, didn't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't discuss that.
Okay.
I have worked with leadership all over the world.
So you really understand it.
And often I find very deep, very, very well-meaning people who want to do so much and whose hearts are very good, but who are caught within the structures, archaic structures of old forms of governance.
Right.
And I certainly saw that.
So we should have a program on dogs and also on emerging leaders, okay? Not necessarily
countries.
The same thing.
But, you know, I've also worked with the man who's the head of his leper colony in southern India. I mean, I work literally at all levels. It's not just heads of state. It's people who are on the ground doing the real work of the world.
Debbie Ringchop, this is your big moment.
My final call. Jean, the things that I've been thinking about during our call today was around doing affirmations and how would you suggest, I used to write a lot of affirmations and really work on the whole being of oneness around our planet and how to get more people to be recognizing that we are all part of the same
yes.
consciousness. And then putting it back into how do we deal with the day-to-day and creating something bigger and better. Do you have some suggestions on...
Yes, I do. Yes, I think an affirmation has to have more in it than words. I think an affirmation has to have a color. I think it has to have feeling, emotion. I think it has to be amplified almost as a dance so that the thing that you intend in your life, you dance it, you sing it, you drum it, you dramatize it, you play it, you have music behind it, so it becomes a whole body, mind, soul system, and thus you create, as you keep it going, you create something that crushes the old inevitable probabilities and creates literally a new reality as you become synchronous with a much higher destiny that is yearning for you. And you move into that destiny, that second-order destiny, that higher form in which you do profoundly makes a difference into what whether we grow or die. So I think we are not simply logos lasers. We're not just language, large as that language part is in the brain, in the mind. We are also whole systems. And if you activate all of our systems in the way that I'm describing, then we really can go into deep and moving transitions, and things happen.
And we're at 12:51. For your information, Jean. So I think that was a perfect goodbye. I know you need to get off the air for another time.
Well, I'm also going to, if I may say, if people would like to learn about the Mystery School, it's mysteryschool.info, you know, where we do
our deepest work. Oh, absolutely. And also your books are there too, aren't they?
That's at myjeanhouston.org. That's at my regular website. Yeah, where they'll
find
the Mystery School also. Thank you so much, Val, Gail, and Deb. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Oh, my. I don't know what to say. I always feel like I'm kind of a different person after Jean's spoken.
Well, the energy has certainly changed. It's elevated so much more. I mean, the capacity, the possibilities, it just feels so much higher, like we're already moving into that next plane just by being around her energy.
Totally, absolutely. Gail, are you still here?
Yeah.
What moved you the most? Her language just does something to me.
It does. Her astounding use of language is great.
Yeah.
But more than that, it's her energy, and it is. Just her voice. She's so firmly planted, so balanced. That is the thing that just really, I get it cellularly. How
yeah.
Profoundly balanced she is and how she moves forward out of that.
You know, it's so interesting, too, because she was on the list from the Conscious Life Expo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to go through channels, trying to kind of be good and go through channels, you know? So the PR person couldn't get a hold of her.
Oh, yeah, well.
So I called and I said, you know, I'm sorry, I tried channels, but since I have her home number, I just really want Jean on the show. And here she was. And it was like, how many times we rule ourselves out of something because we're doing channels or whatever it is that we're doing and what we just need to do. It's like when she was talking about affirmations with color and sound and all of that, you know what I was thinking, Debbie? I was thinking about how you need to embrace the affirmation and carry it over time with all those ingredients. So I have dreams that I've had for absolutely years and they're still my dreams and I'm still creating them. And Gail Ellen, you got me going this morning. With Gail just casually drops on me that she's going to the Vancouver Olympics, and I've been too busy lamenting how wet I've been or how cold I've been or how much I've got to do or something like that. And Gail is just going. So I thought maybe you would like to just take a moment or so, Gail, and talk about being headed for the Olympics this week and what that is for you.
Some red mittens.
Red mittens, all right.
Mittens.
If they have one of those little Olympic caps or something, I've got one from Park City.
It's the mittens now.
It's mittens now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I actually checked with Virgin Atlantic to see if they have any tickets to to Vancouver. It's actually running from Friday to what, the following Friday?
The opening ceremony is Friday. It goes through the 28th. Hold on a minute.
Sure, there you go. So it's happening this Friday through the 28th. It's happening in Vancouver. We're praying for snow because Vancouver is a little light on snow right now. So maybe we could just blow some of that storm that's been coming through here up north. We've got a beautiful week in store for us. Deb, we've got about a minute left. What would you like to say to wrap up this program with Tim Turner and Jean Houston? I mean, does it get any better?
What a great combination. Jean just brought out that it's not just possibilities, but that it's almost factual that we all are going to move in this new conscious direction. And she just gave you the confidence that it's going to happen and that we are all going to elevate.
Yeah, including what we've, with our luckiness, with our breaking news with Tim Turner, because what he's saying, and I think we should recap here, all mortgages are going to disappear when this happens. And if it doesn't happen, there's no way it's not going to happen, because we know that we have a choice between slavery and sovereignty. And, gee, I just like sovereignty so much more.
He's so brave.
Isn't he? Well, I want you to know something. Debbie and I are doing it, too. And we're going to be one of the signers on this thing. And it doesn't take as much courage as it took before guys like Tim Turner were around, Gail. And when you find out that there's like over 30 million people that know about this, that's why it made the difference between, you know, David and Goliath. Because David was, you know, he had the wishes of the people, but he was basically facing the monster alone. And with Tim Turner and all the people that he's trained, he's been doing this work, what is it, 5 years now?
About that.
Something like 5 years. And before he came along, the conversation was there, but the textures and the forms that were required to actually make it happen didn't exist. Tim Turner did that. And you know what? Gail Ellen helped make the 84 Olympics work, and she's going this Friday to the Vancouver Olympics. And Debbie Ringchop has been a study for what it is for people to enjoy the wealth that's available to them. People say to us, Debbie and myself, that we walk on the skinny branches. We don't really walk on the skinny branches. We just walk out on the branches that are sprouting out, that we walk towards freedom, and we walk towards beauty, and we walk towards courage. That's what everybody you're listening to on the radio today has done that, and we do that in different ways. So, Gail, thank you.
Thank you.
And Sidious Altius Fortius, Gail.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And Debbie?
We encourage all the listeners to step out on those branches and start moving forward, and don't let the old systems hold you down. It's to take our freedom back and become what we can be.
Yeah, the skinny branches are way more fun, honest to God. They got good bounce to them, too. So, this program has been brought to you by the Golden Hearts Foundation in association with Kirkgaard Media, our radio partners, ponycompany.com, Mona V, Max GXL, Dr. James Murphy in memoriam. Thank you, Mike, at Voice America. And thank you, Jeff. And to the, thank you, Ruben. And to Ben Migan for the theme music, Almost Ordinary People. I actually talked to him last night, and he wrote this thing for me like 20 years ago. Next week, invite a friend to listen and write us at val@wakingupinamerica.com. And Sidious Altius Fortius, folks, higher, swifter, stronger.
Hear the music, feel the dance.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.